Would you like to have access to a tool that works with the power of your unconscious mind? That means you no longer have to rely on willpower to create the change in your life that you want to change. Sounds amazing, right? It is. And I can teach you how to do this through my one-day self-hypnosis masterclass. When you use the power of hypnosis, which is essentially giving suggestions to your unconscious mind while in a state of trance, and your mind already knows how to go into trance because we are actually in trance 90% of our day. It's just with hypnosis, we're giving our mind these suggestions of what it is that we want to achieve. You can hypnotize yourself into better health, into joy, into passion, into getting to the gym, eating better, living a healthier lifestyle, whatever it is that you're wanting to achieve that until now you've been relying on willpower and perhaps falling off. We can make this happen quickly. We can make it last, and we can make it easy because we're using the power of your unconscious mind. So if you'd like to learn more, click on the link at the bottom of the show notes to my link tree. Go to the one-day self-hypnosis masterclass. All the information's there. It is a super low cost price for this one-day session that is super fun, loads of interaction and practice for you, and you will have this knowledge and this skill for the rest of your life. You are worth it, and you will love it. Imagine getting up every day full of energy as if you were in your 20s again. What would that be like? What would that be worth to you? What is your health worth to you? Think about it. Your health isn't everything, but without it, everything else is nothing. And yet too many of us are taking it for granted until something goes wrong. No one wakes up hoping to be diagnosed with a disease or chronic illness. And yet we've never been taught how to be proactive in our health through our school system or public health. As a registered health coach and integrative health practitioner, I believe it is time this information is made available to everyone. Combining new knowledge around your health and the ability to do my functional medicine lab tests in the comfort of your own home will allow you to optimize your health for today and all your tomorrows. Don't wait for your wake-up call. Welcome back to another episode of the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I am Melissa Dealey, your host, and I'm here today with another wonderful guest that I'm so excited to bring to you, Mr. Jim Poole. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you for having me on your guided health journey. Health is your true wealth. Couldn't have been said better.
I love how aligned we are with that. And just to introduce you a little bit to the audience, Jim Poole says the human race appears to be in a race to erase the human race. That is quite the tongue twister, Jim. And at a time when many people seem to have lost control of their lives, NuCalm is the perfect remedy. Jim is the visionary CEO behind this stress management technology. And I know my audience has heard me talk about stress over and over again. And we know that 95% of doctor's visits are caused by stress. And 65% of dis-ease of the body is caused by stress. And I've had some doctors tell me that they would venture to say it's even higher than that. And yet people struggle to be able to cope with their stress, to be able to manage that and bring it into balance, to lower it. And you have incredible technology that is going to be a game changer for humanity.
Yeah,
we do. I would love you to share about this today. But first of all, just share a little bit more about who you are and why you are uniquely able to be in this position offering this now.
That's a great question. I don't spend a lot of time in the rearview mirror. I'm usually a windshield type of person going. Several of my claims to fame, one would be that I am an identical twin. So I shared a baby apartment in my mother's womb for 9 months with another gentleman. and came out 4 minutes early. Now, who would have thought that 240 seconds could have such an impact on life? But I am the CEO of this company, and my twin brother David is my consigliere. So it could have been different. I could have come out second. Raised by two psychotherapists who chose to separate and move out after 2 years of cohabitation. So it just goes to show you, two psychotherapists cohabiting with two twin boys. I don't know. It doesn't sound like a positive recipe. Talk about stress. So I'm 55 years old. I have a unique background of psychology, science, neuroscience, and business, MBA. And I spent a lot of my time before this enterprise doing mergers and acquisitions for large private equity Wall Street banks, where it gives you a unique insight into the culture and the challenges and kind of the pieces on the chessboard for all these companies. It's really fun.
Not to mention insight into the stress level of human beings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, typically a company is not sold if they're doing really well. Hello.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, it, the stress piece is just fascinating. And a lot of that, a lot of my skills in creating interpersonal relationships comes from my upbringing, because we were raised to take care of people, to look for the disenfranchised and to give them a hug and a non-judgmental ear to chew on. And so I was raised that way. So I grew up and I shifted to conventional normalcy and lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts and Boston, and did a lot of really ambitious things there. And then I found my way to Wall Street, and you know, Wall Street, for all of its value and all of its exponential value that it creates to the market economy, you know, I wouldn't really call it a philanthropic arm of advancing the human condition. So I did that for a long time. And then 15 years ago, the esteemed neuroscientist, quantum physicist, naturopath, Rhodes Scholar at Oxford, studied philosophy at the Sorbonne University in Paris, a uniquely gifted intellectual giant whose brain was superseded only by the size of his heart, crossed paths with me in June of 2009, and my life changed forever. So Blake was uniquely gifted on so many levels, and he immediately did an assessment of me in person. And he said, "Hey, you've had a lot of TBIs." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're not gonna be able to tie your shoes when you're 50. I said, "That doesn't sound good."
No, that doesn't.
I said, I'm gonna make a gentleman's bet with you. I'll keep you healthy, you make me wealthy. So there you go. So this all started back then. So the company and what we do and how this came to be and all the transformational stuff that we can bring to humanity really began in the spirit and in the kind of necessity by Dr. Holloway. He was no longer satisfied in the late 80s and early 90s, beginning really in 1990, with conventional therapy in dealing with trauma. So the traumatized brain, being the most difficult, most challenging anxiety disorder of the spectrum of the seven diagnosable anxiety disorders, the traumatized brain, conventional therapy, even today, demands that your symptoms are managed through a narcotic-based pharmaceutical, and then you sit in a room and you try to engage in cognitive behavioral therapy to a brain that is in constant state of alert, constant state of fear, trust no one. It's really a recipe, as he would tell you, it's a recipe for suicide. The suicidality of the traumatized person has nothing to do with being a coward, being lazy, being an underachiever. It has everything to do with simply becoming fatigued of living the way they don't want to live anymore, and they don't know how to fix it. So there's a quote, you know, Jimmy Johnson, I'm sure it came from some other sports person before Jimmy, but he said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." And we know this. We know this to be true. And so that was the genesis of this company and the trajectory of what we did. And it started 19 years of invention, discovery, trial and error, learning all these different modalities. Blake's genius was not that he was an expert in, you know, quantum physics or applied neuropsychobiology. Blake's genius is he had the humility to simply engage in trial and error until he solved the problem he was looking to solve. And it happened to take this genius 19 years to figure it out. So for any of us who are thinking, hey, this is cool, let me do that. Well, when you're thinking about managing the human brain, you better bring a tank to a knife fight, because the brain has a lot of tricks up its sleeve. And the complication and the compensation mechanisms built into the survival instinct of the human brain, it's incredible. The layers of complexity on the initial invention were so beyond people's concept. They're like, how did you do this? How did you figure this out? So before we get started there, though, let's go back to your intro, stress. Stress, stress, stress. Now, before I took over this company, I don't know that I ever thought about stress. I certainly felt stressed. But today, 15 years of running this company, being all over the world, working with the best and the brightest scientists and the military and all the things we've had the opportunity to do, I would tell you with great certainty, stress is the most nefarious, the most insidious, and the most challenging aspect of the human condition. And one of the challenges we have as being human, for all of our divine, amazing aspects of our brain, we seem to be wholly incapable of understanding intangibles. So if I can't see it, touch it, feel it, taste it, is it real? I mean, what is it? We can see it just recently with COVID. Was COVID real? Can't see it. Is stress real? I can't see it. But I know intuitively when I'm stressed, I'm impatient, I'm agitated, I don't think that clearly, I'm easily triggered. My goodness, when we're stressed out, we're easily triggered. I mean, it's like, yeah, anything happens, we're like, we're ready. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges we have as humans. How do we fix something?
And we can't sleep. That was the other thing here too. When we're stressed out, we can't sleep.
And the challenge really is, how do we create awareness to a problem that's intuitive, but not known? People don't even know stress is a problem. They just say, hey, we're stressed out. But if you said, what does that mean? They're like, I don't know.
And they look around and they look at everybody else who's stressed out and they normalize it.
Yes. Yes. So stress is, to me, the biggest problem that we need to solve.
Yes.
And once we're not stressed, everything else is easier. That's it. It's that simple. So it's a simple formula. It's just been a really challenging Herculean job to bring a technology of this advanced nature to the world for a lot of reasons, and we'll talk about those. But yeah, stress is, to me, you lick stress, you win.
You do. And again, my audience has heard me say this before, but when it comes to stress, it is literally shortening our lives. Our stress is killing the cancer killer cells that we have in our gut.
Yes.
That are there to fight the cancer cells that we also have in our gut.
Yes.
When we don't sleep enough because of high stress, the same thing is happening. We're breaking down the good bacteria in our gut.
Yes.
When we're too stressed out, it starts to impact our hormones. And particularly in women, we are not producing enough progesterone because the body needs more cortisol, and the body can't do everything all of the time. So when it's producing more cortisol, it has to stop doing other things that take energy. It shuts down our immune system. That's why we get sick when we're under stress. It shuts down producing progesterone. It's called the cortisol steal, progesterone steal, as cortisol is being produced. That's what's happening when we're living in fight or flight.
So why does this happen? How does this all kind of come to be? There are two aspects of the human brain that we want to pay attention to. And there's two aspects of the human brain that have a relationship. And what are they? Number one aspect is the autonomic nervous system. So you can liken back to 10th grade biology. And if you remember, hey, autonomic nervous system. Well, that's the balance of the stress response versus the rest and digest response. The sympathetic tone versus the parasympathetic tone, the vagus nerve. There's a lot of different ways to explain this, but the autonomic nervous system has a lot of responsibility. And with that responsibility comes opportunity. The autonomic nervous system, it manages fight, flight, or freeze. It's our survival instinct. It manages stress, fear, anxiety, worry, agitation, feeling overwhelmed. So that's a lot. That's a lot for one aspect of our brain to be managing. And the challenge is that the evolution, the circuitry of what is now the primordial midbrain, otherwise known as the reptile brain, which doesn't sound all that aspirational, that part of our brain, the circuitry, began millions of years ago. Millions and millions of years of circuitry built the aspect of our autonomic nervous system. So if you think for 1 second that this isn't a perfected system, you're not giving the humility to your brain and evolution and resilience that's required, because this is a perfectly architected system. The autonomic nervous system is managed by an almond-shaped piece in our midbrain called the amygdala. So you could literally deduce that most humans are managed by an almond. That would not be untrue.
It wouldn't be. I agree 100%.
So the autonomic nervous system, fight, flight, or freeze, is really well equipped to do its job. And it loves to work. It has a great work ethic. It loves to be excited. It loves to be activated. It knows exactly how to mobilize our mind and body to protect us in a threat. The central nervous system has a different hierarchy and a different set of responsibilities. And it begins with self-preservation. The central nervous system cares nothing about any of the cool stuff, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because it has to focus number one on self-preservation. I need to survive as a human, nothing else matters. So that's its number one goal. Mm-hmm. Now the central nervous system has at its disposal 5 senses and your intuition. And it has as its Robin or its sidekick, the amygdala. That's how this works. So that's the relationship. So your central nervous system does a lot of really cool stuff, and it does stuff without you asking. You don't need to ask permission for it to protect you. But I'll give you a couple examples that are nuances that you've probably paid attention to, but you didn't really know why this happened. Number one, any second of any minute of any hour of every day, your central nervous system is paying attention to your surroundings. It must, because its number one job is self-preservation. It is constantly looking for familiarity and security. Familiarity and security. So think about the last time you traveled somewhere new. Now, travel is exhausting in and of itself. But over the course of your life, you travel a lot of places, you get used to it, you normalize it. But when you travel somewhere new, you'll find that you're increasingly more fatigued at the end of that first day. Why? Because when you travel somewhere new, your central nervous system is on high alert, using all of your senses, analyzing everything, looking for an anchor, a benchmark to ground itself in familiarity and security. So for those of you who travel internationally and are staying in cultures that don't look like you, you go to Beijing or you go to India, you will never have a sense of deep relaxation because the anchor doesn't exist. It's pretty wild. I spent, 11 days in Beijing and I never felt grounded. So that's the central nervous system. When the central nervous system perceives a threat, and this is really important, there are threats that you pick up that are real. Your gut usually is really good at sensing threats. You're walking down the street, it's dark, and you hear footsteps behind you, 270 degrees. You're like, okay, wait a second. That's a threat. That's a real threat. There's a reason the central nervous system pings the amygdala, because you may be in danger. But perceived threats have the same transfer of knowledge. This is important. We don't have any filter of the central nervous system to the amygdala on a real or perceived threat, which means a thought can elicit that mobilization of the fear response. As soon as your central nervous system feels endangered in any way, it immediately fires neurons to the amygdala and says, hey, we're in trouble. You know what to do. Giddy up. And this cascade of events happens. And in this cascade of events, we lose the capacity to function in our own right. We lose the capacity to have access to our personality and our character and all these aspects. We are literally in a fight or flight, and it's just a continuum. So that's kind of the battle that's going on there. And secondarily, there's a really cool aspect of the central nervous system that just makes it fascinating. And to me, there's no such thing as a second first impression. Now, why is that? It's a bummer, man. When you do something cool, you want to repeat it. You're like, that was amazing. You can't repeat it. It's because the central nervous system, the five senses, your intuition, and particularly the reticular activating system of your brain has identified and analyzed this experience ad nauseum. There's nothing new to look at. A great example is you take your spouse, your partner out to a fine restaurant. You have an amazing evening. It is funny how some experiences resonate with you for the rest of your life. It could have been the ambiance. It could have been the air. It could have been the oxygen. It could have been a million things. But you have an incredible experience. Every taste is like, oh my God, endorphins, oxytocin, I'm in love with everything. I love this. You're having the best meal of your life. That night, you're speaking to your spouse or partner about it, and you're talking about it like this is, it's a romance novel. Yeah, because it was an amazing experience. Days go by, and you're like, you know what? I'm tired of thinking about it. I'm going to do it again. This is my wife, my husband, my partner. I'm going to take him back. And lo and behold, it doesn't live up to your high expectations. And it's not because they're weak, they're inconsistent, they don't know how to serve a quality meal. It's because your central nervous system, specifically your reticular activating system, has already checked it out. Isn't that fascinating?
It's absolutely fascinating.
And this aspect of our brain creates these weird behavioral patterns. We, by all rights and purposes, if our central nervous system had its way, we would never leave our home.
Mm-hmm.
Because then our central nervous system doesn't have to work.
Right. It knows we're safe in our home and it wants to keep us there. I liken it to the comfort zone. It doesn't like us getting out of our comfort zone.
We are all creatures of habit. Some mm-hmm. people find that to be judgmental. You're a creature of habit. No, I'm not. We are all creatures of habit.
Yes, we are.
Because your brain is not lazy. Your brain is not an underachiever. Your brain is highly efficient.
Yes.
And it doesn't want to burn calories. So if there's a shortcut involved, it'll find that shortcut.
Yes.
So the autonomic nervous system, stress, fear, anxiety, worry, depression, feeling overwhelmed, the fight, flight, or freeze are managed by the amygdala of our midbrain. And this part of our brain is different. The prefrontal cortex separates the human species from primates. And in this area is our cognition. And this area of our brain is our character, our personality, our patience, our presence, our executive functioning, our logic, our emotions. This is who we are. This is who I am. This is who you are. It's all right here. Now, the currency of the human brain is not time. It's not money. Today's currency is attention. It's not attention. The currency of the human brain is oxygen-rich red blood. Oxygen is the key element to all survival. And so in our daily struggle, could be second by second, could be minute by minute, it is a battle for resources. And those resources are oxygen-rich red blood. So when we are in balance, we're pushing enough oxygen-rich red blood to our forehead, we are patient, we are present, we are cool, we're nice to be around, we do well, we make good choices, we have the law of attraction. Hey, I really like that person. But when we're stressed, and when we're fearful, and when we're scared, we are agitated. We are not responsive. We don't have perspective. We're reactionary. We're easily triggered. We are impatient. We are all the things that we associate being stressed out with on the negative side. And this is all true. And the best advice I can give to any human is that is the operating system of your brain. That is the wiring of your brain. It is not you to judge yourself or be uber critical of this. It's you to understand how to reassess and reallocate those resources in the form of oxygen. So the challenge that we have in front of us as a human species today is that the amygdala, the reptile brain, the fight, flight, or freeze, stress, fear, anxiety, depression, worry, and all the things that go into that aspect is 40 million years of human evolution and neuronal circuitry. 40 million years of a perfected, architected structure. It knows how to do its job, and boy, is it good at it. The challenge is that your forehead and the prefrontal and frontal cortex is speculated to have 4 million years of evolution, 4 million years of perfected circuitry. So each second of each minute of each hour of each day, we're literally battling a 36 million year head start that the amygdala has on the structures of our brain that makes us who we are. 36 million year head start. Now, talk about a first mover advantage. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That's the challenge of being a human. And it starts as soon as you wake up. The first thing that activates in your brain physiology is the amygdala. The first thing that wakes up. Are we okay? Did I do everything I was supposed to do last night? What else was the day? What's my schedule today? Here's my to-do list. Wouldn't it be nice if our frontal cortex woke up first and said, wow, Jim, you're amazing. And the people around you are amazing. And you're just filled with love and appreciation and gratitude. You're going to probably have the best day of your life today. Today is it, man. Enjoy every second. It's going to be the best day ever. Our brains aren't wired for that. And some people say, well, you know, the person's negative. Well, yeah, we're built for negativity. It shouldn't be come as a surprise that you can have 1,000 positive things happen in one day. Two negative interactions happen, and you perseverate over that. It's the strength of the amygdala. The evolution of our brain hasn't happened at the pace that is commensurate with technology and the advancement of our culture. Our brain physiology is the same as it was when we were cave people, period. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the amygdala has a lot of strength. The amygdala has a lot of capability, and the amygdala knows how to do its job, and it loves to be involved. It's a joiner. Hey, what's going on?
I want to play.
Shouldn't we be scared about something? There must be something for us to worry about. So that is the challenge. Now, personally for me, Melissa, it would have been really nice if someone had told me that when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's look at the human brain. This is this structure, and this is this structure, and this is how this works, and this is how you're going to survive being a human. But no one tells us that. Why? Why does no one tell us these things? It doesn't make any sense to me. So part of my job and part of my world and my passion is literally traveling the earth, presenting to people the operating system of the human brain. Hey, this is how your brain works, because I believe that with knowledge comes an opportunity for self-awareness, and with self-awareness comes an opportunity for you to be better. Just be better.
Exactly. And that's a huge reason why I wanted you on this show, because I love how you teach this, and I've learned it, and I love to share what I learn with others. And you teach this so well. And it's such a critical piece for people to understand how their own brain works. Because with that knowledge, as you said, they can become better, and they can make different choices in how they live their life too.
Yes. So I'm going to share my screen.
Yes, please do.
I rarely present with slides, because I find them to provide the opportunity for distraction. However, in this event, I think there's an opportunity. Hey, there's some logos for the Stress Avengers. That's cool.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of a cheetah that I took in Kenya last March. So
I definitely want to come back and talk about your philanthropic work in Kenya too. But I'll let you share your slide.
So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to simplify complex neuroscience. And I'm just going to share with you, this is the operating system of your brain. Another concept beyond the intangible of stress is the concept of vibration, resonance, and frequency. Now, we've seen, you know, wave forms, and you can see a wave on paper, and you see what it looks like. There's an amplitude. But everything in this world is frequency and resonance and vibration. Everything. This is fascinating to me. It's difficult for my brain to understand this. This has a frequency. What
is this that you're holding up there? We've got listeners, so I want them to hear what you're holding up.
I'm holding up a water bottle. Actually is a frequency-laden water bottle built in Germany for me, and I put it through an optimizer. It's true. I got some cool stuff here, but this is a water bottle. Okay. This is a top to another water bottle. This is a ring. This is not my phone. This is a phone stand. And the point of this is even intangible objects, they're inanimate. It's what? They resonate at a frequency. That's a mind bender for people. Everything on this earth, resonance has a resonance, has a frequency, has a vibration. Albert Einstein, who people understand to be really intelligent, said everything in life is vibration. Well, your human brain oscillates with vibration, resonance, and frequency. And if it doesn't, you are not alive. So it's an important aspect of our brain. And here's how this works. There are five categories of brainwave function. And I think a lot of us have heard the term, at least brainwave. There's a 41 hertz range, and this is how every human brain operates. What I like about social psychology, evolutionary neuropsychobiology, and all these really cool deep dive scientific pieces of humanity, there's always a connective tissue. The more we learn that we're in this together, the more when we're having a bad time, we know we can get out of it. Because we believe as humans that our problems are our own and no one else on earth has ever had the collection of our problems. And it couldn't be far further from the truth, but it's one of the tricks that the amygdala, you know, pulls on us. So the human brain oscillates in a frequency range of 41 hertz. Five categories, beginning with slowest waveform. So a high amplitude, slow waveform of delta is 4 hertz to 0.5 hertz. And in this state, when your brainwave is at that stage, you are in dreamless-like deep sleep. Okay? Theta is 4 hertz to 7 hertz. It's a faster waveform. It is in the sleep architecture. It's commensurate with lucid dream state. And it is the healing zone. So Melissa has an expertise and a whole business and a whole desire to help people heal. And the key to healing is to have the human brain oscillate in the healing zone. And there are millions of gizmos and gadgets and methods, and they're all directed at trying to bring the brainwave function out of the chaos of beta into this zone, and it lies just above deep sleep. And in this state, why it's called the healing zone is because two things happen, and they happen only in this state. Number one, your cells clean their toxins. They do their cellular maintenance. And number two, your mitochondria is restored, which is the energy source for your cells. Now, biology is more than bones and muscles and ligaments. Biology is cell-to-cell communication. Human biology is information sharing at the highest order. And the way that cells in the body communicate is chemical messaging and electrical messaging. So when we're in that state, our cells clean their toxins, which means the killer cell knows how to do its job. And all the cells know what their function is because they're clean, they're energized, they're ready for action. Theta is the key. Above theta, with a faster frequency, 8 to 12 hertz, is the first stage of sleep. It's also synonymous with creativity, being in the zone, being relaxed, transcendental meditation. It's great. You're slowing down the frequency of your brain. You're allowing yourself some level of self-awareness, some presence, some patience. You're slowing down the cascade of your to-do list and just putting the brakes on. Then we go into beta. Beta is the broadest range of human function. The 13 to 15 hertz is you're awake, you're walking, you're kind of alive, but your brain's kind of lethargic. You don't really want to be awake. So that's a low. And a lot of times, you know, say you're in a lecture, you're at a conference, you just had lunch, most of your blood source is in your digestive tract, and you're just kind of starting to get a little tired. That's 13 hertz, man. 12 hertz, you're dipping out. Hey, are my eyes getting, oh, that's what that is. 15 to 20 hertz is a unique state. It's the learning state. I'm going to hold on that for a second. Wait a second. There's a learning state? Come on, man. Now, I'm highly efficient, highly ambitious, and I don't like to waste time. And I reflect on my life and my journey, my intellectual curiosity, and my schools and my graduate schools and all the stuff I've learned. And I can't tell you cumulatively how many hours and hours and hours I wasted trying to learn something when my brain wasn't in the state to learn. That, ladies and gentlemen, is pure frustration. That doesn't make any sense to me. But there is a learning zone. It's between 15 and 20 hertz, and specifically 18.4 hertz. And when your brain is oscillating at that frequency, several things are happening that are magical. Number one, you're able to encode new information. You're able to problem solve at a higher level. You're able to create what's called new neuronal coherence. You're attaching new cognitive pathways in your brain, and then you consolidate it to memory. The learning zone. Now, there are someone like Jim Quick, who I'm a dear friend with, and we have Quick State powered by New Calm, and we do all this collective work. He gives you all these tips. Cold room, hydration, get your eyes going. Good posture. That's to get into the learning state, 18.4 hertz. In beta, above the learning zone, is where most of us spend our days. Stress, fear, anxiety, anticipatory anxiety, which seems redundant and silly, worry, agitation, impatience, expectation, overwhelm. 20 to 25 hertz is a faster frequency, and that's what's going on in that state. You know, like when you're stressed out, you're easily distracted. You know, when you're stressed out, you know, those, hey, I was looking for my keys for 20 minutes and I was yelling at my kids and they're in my pocket. Because your brain is not in that state. You don't have enough blood flow in your frontal cortex. It's all in the amygdala. 25 to 30 hertz is a higher order of stress, fear, anxiety, depression, worry. It's when we're highly agitated. We're just not in a good state. You know it. The people around you can feel it. There's not one interface you've ever had with another human being within a few inches where you couldn't feel full agitation, full amygdala. Man, holy cow, that dude's like full amygdala. Run. That's life. That's your intuition saying the energy source here, that chi is not in balance. It's not resonating with mine. And then 30 to 38 hertz is a strange but really powerful and healthy brainwave function called fight, flight, and freeze. So when we are literally in mortal danger, we need to not think, hey, I wonder if this guy's going to pull the trigger and shoot me in the face. No. It doesn't work that way. You literally have no cognition and your body knows how to keep you alive. You are in full flight or fight. And in that state, there is no blood flow here. So think back to any time you were in a near-death experience. And it's interesting, your memory, your hippocampus consolidates that forever because it doesn't want to do that again. We literally can remember second by second some of our near-death experiences. And it's weird because time distorts. You're like in a movie in slow motion. A lot of times it's a car accident related thing. And you're just like, wait a second. You can see literally in your mind's eye, you can see go through that. That's 30 to 38 hertz. And interesting enough, in that state, if you look someone in the eyes, they would look like a shark. They're completely cognitively dissociated. There is no cognition. They are surviving, primal survival instinct. Then above all of this, stress, fear, anxiety, worry, anticipatory anxiety, agitation, impatience, a higher order of that, and then a highest order of that. Above all of this, and this is really cool, is this sweet spot called gamma. It's like, you know, you're going through the desert and you're just going, 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 and then there's an oasis. Wow, what's this oasis? Gamma, ladies and gentlemen, is a sweet spot. And we're learning more and more and more in the neuroscience literature and studies how prolifically valuable this frequency is for doing cool things around neurodegenerative diseases. But in this state, the highest frequency of the human brainwave operating system, you have a high level of mental acuity and clarity. Your dopamine is elicited. Your gross motor cortex and your sensory motor rhythm, which is your musculature, is activated. Your olfactory is improved. Your peripheral vision is improved. You're literally in a state of high performance, mistake-free focus. brilliant. Challenge is, it's hard to get there. And once you're there, it's hard to stay there. So this, ladies and gentlemen, if you can see this, and if you can't see this, it is a graphic of a human brain looking left to right. On the left side has five categories: delta, 4 hertz to 0.5 hertz, theta, 7 hertz to 4 hertz, and alpha, 12 hertz to 8 hertz. That is in the sleep architecture. Alpha, theta, and delta are in human sleep. Then beta is the broadest range, and that frequency is associated with the learning zone between 15 and 20, and then stress between 20 and 25, high stress 25 and 30, and then fight or flight 30 to 38, and then gamma is 39 to 41 hertz. And the reason I share this with you is that the game and the trick, when you think about resource allocation, you think about the challenge and the kind of existential battle between the primordial midbrain, the amygdala, the almond, versus your forehead, the key is being able to downregulate the speed of your brainwave. That's the key to balance, restoration, health, and healing. Now, there are several challenges associated with being a human. And hey, we like challenges, right? But one of the biggest challenges we have is we don't really understand stress. We may not be good at meditation and other mindfulness, but when we are in a diseased state, when we need sleep the most, when we need stress management the most, we get it the least. And that's not a good irony, because that, the stress itself, is accelerating most of the disease. The stress itself is depreciating your mind and your body and your spirit. So the key is, your immune system. It's all related. You think of resilience, you think about immune strength, you think about inflammation. It's all related to this dial called the stress response. Now, I talked about the connective tissue of being humans, and I'm just enamored with better understanding of this. We think that we're unique, and I think there's probably value in that, thinking, hey, well, you know, no one like me in the world. In reality, the only thing that's unique is the collection of stressors that come to you. So it might be my family, my spouse, my partner, my brother, my mother, my father, my kids, my community, my teachers. There's a million different stressors. Finances, there's a few stressors that, you know, tip the scales at the top of the pecking order. Changing a job, death of a loved one, moving your home. There's a lot. And that collection and the variables you need to. The human stress response, a stressor coming in from your central nervous system, activating the amygdala without asking permission, activating the HPA axis, a cascade of cortisol and catecholamines. All these things happen. The blood flow leaves your peripheral body and goes to your visceral organs, and blood flow leaves your forehead and goes to the amygdala. That's identical in every single human being. That's the connective tissue of being human. And it's really just the continuum of how impactful, how fast acting, and the magnitude of how long that stress response is going to last. There, we are connected.
We absolutely are.
So when we are in a state of fear, when we are in a state of stress and anxiety, think about that. Think about what happens when you're feeling anxious. Well, I know what happens. The anxious brain feeds off more anxious thoughts. Come on, man. If you said, hey, I'm in a really bad day, I'm just really agitated, and someone said to me, you just need to breathe. Man, that just makes me more agitated. It's a riddle. That is the key. The key is oxygen. How do I get oxygen? When I'm agitated and someone's impatient or they have road rage or whatever it is, stop for 1 second if you can. Exhibit some self-awareness and pay attention to your breath. I guarantee it's shallow breath. Shallow breath is not helping you get blood flow to your forehead. So there's a lot of challenges here. And one of the things that I've learned is to be very humble and also to understand we're not in control a lot of times. We think as humans that we are in control. It is a fallacy. We are not in control. What's in control is the wiring of our brain. And the amygdala is often too much in control because of its survival instinct, its ability to command resources, and the fact that it has a 36 million year head start on our forehead. We don't have as much control as we want. And today, I don't have to tell you that because everybody on this earth can feel it. We know as a human species, we're not in a good space. We know as a human species, we don't feel grounded. We don't feel safe. And that lack of feeling safe and grounded is exhausting our central nervous system and our autonomic nervous system. And we don't have a lot of resilience built up in the bank. So when we see in the media, or we see with conflict in our neighborhoods and violence, and it's not who we are. It's not the natural order of where we want to be, because we are so out of balance. The smallest trigger elicits this response that is not commensurate with the stimulation. It's not. And how we're defined, how we're grown up, how we're socialized, our epigenetics, a cascade of variables. It appears to me that in a stress response, the brain maps to two different areas. Stress can either lead to an anger response or a fear response in isolation, get really scared. And so it's interesting because my epigenetics don't lead me to anger. I'm not an angry person, but I have friends who are, and their anger response is bizarre. It's like a tantrum, and they're an adult. And then when it's done, they're like, nothing ever happened. My brain can't process that. I'm like, what? That's not normal. It's not them. It's how the brain is wired. Mm-hmm. And it's accessing and say, hey, we're in fear right now. Here we go. We're stressed. Here we go. Anger is our defense mechanism, man. Activate. So this is fascinating. And I hope that with a better understanding of how the brain is mapped, the operating system of your brain, the evolution of your brain, the structures of the autonomic nervous system and the central nervous system, and battling for oxygen-rich red blood, I hope that with a baseline understanding of how your brain operates, it'll give you the luxury of being less judgmental and critical of others. And more importantly, less judgmental and critical of ourselves, because we get into this weird shame cycle. And the key is really this: oxygen, 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 oxygen. So I'm going to now move the needle to mindfulness, another intangible, another, what is it? How does it work? Why is it important? It's bizarre, isn't it? Some of these aspects of our life, stress, we don't understand. Mindfulness has been around in the literature for more than 3,500 years to be the antidote to stress. We don't understand that either. It's like, help us out. So mindfulness. There are many.
That's why you're here, helping us out.
That's why we're here. There are many paths,
solutions
to creating mindfulness. And some of us are aware of these, and some of us have tried them, and some of us are really good at them. Meditation being your first and foremost. Yoga. Yes, yoga has tremendous mindfulness properties to it. Tai Chi, box breathing, Wim Hof breathing. Those are mindfulness. They are all associated with some type of activity on a persistent path, determined time, making it happen, not maybe even understanding what I'm supposed to do, just following guidance. Mindfulness is not the act of the actual mindfulness that's important. The outcome of the mindfulness act is the value. And the outcome is connecting the heart with the lungs and the brain to oxygenate the forehead. That's the value of mindfulness. It's that simple. Now, me personally, Melissa, I understand mindfulness. I will never engage in it. I grew up with an identical twin brother. I'm inherently aggressive. I love to fight. Just love touching and fighting with rules, of course, but I just love it. My wife was like, stop touching me. I'm like, I wrestled for 20 years. I just got to touch, right? Let's fight. I'm not going to do yoga. I'm 6 feet, 220 pounds. You're not going to see me in a yoga studio. Not going to happen. I'm not going to do Tai Chi. If I kick your face, I really want to use technique to get near your face. I want to fight. I am not going to meditate. For more than 20 years of my martial arts career, I meditated. And I'm pretty convinced that I was the world's worst meditator. Never successfully got past the spinning and the anxiety and the worrying and the to-do list. I never was able to calm my monkey mind. I can't do it.
You're not alone. I hear that so often from people.
And
I personally love yoga.
Yeah.
I meditate. However, you're absolutely right. It isn't for everyone. And I'm just going to ask you here too, just for the video people, if you can stop sharing your screen now so people can see you rather than being a little box. There we go. Thank you.
I can.
Yes, you're not alone in having difficulty calming your monkey mind.
No, the meditation one's a riddle. So say I'm struggling and I'm seeking guidance from friends and they say, hey, you got to meditate. This is how you do it. But it's not tangible. So people don't really know how to do it. Then they don't think they're doing it right. Then they say, shoot, I can't even meditate. Then it creates shame. It's very strange. And there should be no judgment. It is what it isn't. But the fact is, the key and the whole goal here is to simply slow down your brainwave frequency. That's the whole goal. So that is mindfulness, which turns the page to what we do. What is New Calm? Why is it important? Why should humanity care? New Calm was designed and created out of necessity, the necessity to help the traumatized human brain that typically finds relief in drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol are very effective of getting us out of acute stress. They work very well, and your brain knows this. And your brain will manipulate your behavior to get what your brain wants. Remember, we're not as in control as we think we are. And your brain has a different time horizon and more patience than we do. So for example, I have trauma and I have a history of self-medicating through drugs and alcohol and I'm trying not to drink. And it's a Monday and I have a bad day at work. And that night I get a craving. I think about it. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do it. Tuesday, not gonna do it. By Friday or Saturday, fatigue makes cowards of us all. I'm vulnerable, I'm listening. That's the comorbidity of trauma with addiction. Again, we judge people for finding solace when their brain just is like, hey, nothing else is helping me, Jim. I need something. And I'm gonna make it happen. So this technology was designed and invented to treat the traumatized brain, which by all accounts of the 7 diagnosable anxiety disorders is the most horrific way to live. And the reason is you are never, ever given a second of peace of mind. You're never allowed to breathe. You're never allowed not to look over your shoulder. Your amygdala is so supercharged and overly activated, you're in a constant state of hypervigilance, agitation, confusion, fear, all of it, all the time. And even in your dreamscape, it is not fair. And that's what we built this for. Dr. Holloway understood the human brain. He understood the reticular activating system. He understood the central nervous system. He understood the prefrontal cortex. He understood the corpus callosum. He understood all the machinations and said, the goal here is to figure out how can I effectively, safely, and predictably slow down the brainwave? How can I do it? Well, there's two ways to present your brain with a signal, visual or auditory. And so we chose the path of auditory, leveraging your ears as a Trojan horse, an entryway, a nice safe gateway to present your brain with a pattern. That's what we did. So in 2009, after 19 years of invention, discovery, validation, proof, worked on thousands of people with trauma, complex trauma coming out of the theater of war, we launched a $6,000 FDA Class 3 medical device. It was complicated. It was cumbersome. There was multiple components. It was expensive, but it worked. And we started in surgery. We started relaxing humans of all variety preoperatory to to go in and have surgery without general anesthesia. That's what we were knowing. Hey, you're gonna put an eye mask on, you're gonna put headphones on, and we're gonna bring your brainwave to a state of calm relaxation. We're gonna bring you to the theta healing zone just above deep sleep. You're gonna be an amiable, malleable patient. Your body's not gonna resist. The surgeon's gonna do their best work because you're literally, it's like working on a monk, and you're gonna heal faster because the stress response is not elicited. Pure genius, pure brilliance, pure hard work. 2009 to 2015, we have 52 medical advisors of the brightest capacity that we could find on Earth, from statistical biophysicists at Harvard Medical School to NASA mathematicians to the former medical director at NFL. You name it, we did it. We didn't buy anybody's voice, we didn't pay anybody, and we didn't gift them anything. They bought NuCalm, they brought their research design, and for the next 5 years, we worked studying stage 4 cancer in the Chicago Blackhawks. And in 2015, we were awarded the world's first and only patent for balancing and maintaining the health of that human autonomic nervous system. That fight, flight, or freeze, stress, fear, anxiety, depression, worry aspect of being a human. This is a magnitude of incredible. I can't believe we did it. I can't believe no one else has done it. And I can't believe how necessary it is. Why haven't we thought about it? And maybe it took Blake Holloway, an incredible inventive genius, 19 years to figure this out. Whatever it is, whether there's angelic forces on the invention path, it doesn't matter. The reality is we found a safe and predictable way for you, for me, for anybody on this earth to slow down your monkey mind and literally oscillate and hold your brainwave function in theta.
Jim, I just want to take this time to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing everything you've shared with us here today in regards to calming our nervous system, our brainwaves, and the operating system of our brain. You are such a wealth of knowledge. And I know that you have more to share. So we are going to have a part two of this podcast coming out next week. And I just want to let the audience know that if they're already excited about looking into the NuCalm technology, that the link to your website, as well as a free 7-day trial and 15% off purchases, all of that is in the show notes so that people can access that now. And then I invite you to come back next week and listen to the rest of this interview with the amazing Jim Poole. And as always, please share it with anybody that you know that can benefit from this understanding of their brain, their nervous system, and getting into their theta healing state. Thank you for investing this time with me on the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I'm so glad you joined in. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit and have a positive impact on their life, that would be wonderful. Please leave a review by going to your favorite podcast listening app and let me know what you enjoy or would like to hear more of. It will support me in my effort to bring the possibility of natural healing to a wider audience and help disrupt the sick care system we have today and make human health a global priority. Health is your true wealth.